All right, here we go. Yeah, for those that have been here in the start, or not been here, my name is Hans Jörg. I'm from Odria, and I will talk a little bit about, mostly but not necessarily completely a client-related topic, but it is sort of cross-cutting. So it's not about a very specific client, but it's about a forthcoming new standard way of improving email, which for the moment, or probably for the time being, will be called structured email. And I will walk you through a little bit about what it is about, what you can do with it, what is around in terms of bits and pieces, and especially if you are an email client developer or an email software developer, what kind of actions you could take, or what kind of help or feedback you could give here at the current stage. How can I switch, by the way? Oh, no. Sorry. Ah, okay. Whoa, no. How do I get back? I thought it's arrow keys, but it doesn't work with the arrow keys. Ah, okay, it's this way. Okay, sorry. Here we go. That's the motivation slide. So we already learned email is still a quite unique technology with very unique properties that not so many other technologies have. So if you say the web, in a way, is a building block of the current internet in terms of something where you dynamically interact or synchronously interact with websites. Email, so, to a certain extent, is the most standard asynchronous technology we are currently using most of the time. And it's also very unique in terms of the addressing. We are email addresses between, as I said in the beginning, exchanging between your private and the public space. So it's actually a very versatile technology, and most of you will know that because you use email for all sorts of things, right? So it's like a little bit the Swiss Army knife of IT sometimes, which is to the good and to the bad to a certain extent. However, email, since it is widespread, is challenged all the time with new features. So we saw in Ben's talk already also, there is a lot of movement in terms of, you know, private chats, like instant messaging, which I think has captured a lot of use cases which historically some people were using by email. And there's also in the corporate world, you have things like Slack and Team and all these kind of things, which again, you know, overlap to a certain extent with email. But still, email is actually growing worldwide, yeah? So which is part of the reason due to, you know, IT grows worldwide anyway. But also, you know, when you look into your mailbox, email nowadays is a lot transactional. Yeah, so a lot of mails which you have are basically your orders, your FOSDEM registration, your hotel registration, your energy bill, these kind of things. And so there is a lot of email which is actually generated by, not by humans sent to you, but generated by systems and you know, templates and stuff. But in a way, your email client is sort of dumb, so it cannot help you a lot with that. Yeah? It can help you somehow with calendar invitations, yeah? But it cannot help you with all the other stuff most of the time. But you know, if you think about this, email is a little bit like your personal API. Like you receive posts in the former days and, you know, your bills and stuff and put it in your wardrobe. Now it's you file it in a folder probably or something like that, but still it's a very manual process. So the whole motivation behind this is how can this done more efficiently, actionable, interoperable, and maybe even enjoyable. Yeah, so that's four things in a row. Let's see how far we can get here. So what's the basic idea? So the idea is, you know, there is machine-readable data on the web already for a long time. So many people of you might be aware of REF in general as a standard by the W3C for knowledge representation, which is around for quite a while. And it's also used very widespread on the web, by the way. So if you do a web search nowadays and you see these rich search snippets which tell you this pizzeria has this and this rating and this is his phone number, it's very often actually fueled by structured data annotated by the website hoster. Owner of the website. So you have some 10 million websites, any news sites you look at, any cooking site, any music site. Yeah, you look into the metadata of the site and it will typically have the full metadata of the content in the metadata of the site, which is just silently used by the search engine so far, but which could be leveraged for much more. And in a way, the idea for email is sort of the same, right? So you have historically different representations for email. So email started text-based, ASCII-based. And you know, there's still ASCII-based tools around, we have seen in the very first talk, which is great. But many email nowadays is also HTML based. Yeah, but email already was so flexible that typically you can combine both of these things because you have these multi-part alternative body parts. So many of the emails you receive today have this feature where you can look at them as a command line, but you can also look at them in a fully fledged visual client. And the idea here is just to add a third part to it, which is the machine reader part. So if you have an email client that can understand that and can act upon that kind of machine readable data, that's fine. If not, you can just use email as you used it before. So it's actually quite a nice thing which can be added into the email without disturbing the workflow of people using email to that extent. Actually, a lot of people do that already. To a certain extent, this is happening. If you scan your mailbox, and I'll show you a tool later where you can actually try that out if you want, you will find that, for instance, many airlines already put this kind of structured data in their emails. They mainly do that because Gmail is rendering the airline case within Gmail if you opted into that. But they will also send it out typically to your non-Gmail account. Yeah? But just your typical email client will just not make use of it. Yeah? And but of course, if the email client knows that, it could help you much more. Adding this to the calendar, probably rebooking the flight, and whatever you want to do with that kind of data. Very short note, maybe, because some people might know, okay, making something smart or so, there's this AI thing around, right? Like everyone is talking about. Just for those who get a little bit confused how this relates to the other, right? So with AI, typically you don't have necessarily structured data, but you have text-based data, and AI tries to make sense of that. Yeah, tries to find out, okay, this might be a flight from here to there. Whereas the idea of structured data in that sense here comes from the source, like the sender will already provide well-defined structured data for the certain use case, because typically the sender will know already. So in an ideal world, these two things are complementary. Yeah. So obviously, obviously it's a little bit costly to have structured data for everything. So you will do it if you have the data already anyway. So the case for AI is always like if there is not yet that prescribed data, but if the sender anyway has that structured data already, it typically makes much more sense to already include it, so there's no AI that has to guess on it or something like that. But these two things are also used to work together to a certain extent in providing additional things for AI assistance and so on. So it's not a thing that is totally different, but it comes from a different direction, let's say it like that. So what use cases can you use this for? So I already said there is a standard thing like orders, reservations, a flight reservation, a train reservation, a hotel reservation. There is also things you can do in instant messaging, right? So for instance, in instant messaging, we had already the example by Ben with polls or locations, right? If you do that right now in email, it's not really possible in an interoperable way. Having some markup here which would tell the email clients this is actually a location or this is a poll could be very beneficial in making that interoperable. Similar thing with things like articles, recipes, and songs. I've been telling you that on a lot of websites you already have the metadata. Yeah? So if you for instance go on your mobile on a web browser and share a Spotify or whatever song with like your WhatsApp or something like that, it will basically show up a link preview at least. Yeah, so you see like the song album cover or something like that. Do that to an email client and you will just see the URL. Yeah, so you're stuck to that kind of Spotify thing. With structured data, since for instance on Spotify the structured data is already in the website, we can even add additionally the structured data. So your client doesn't just have a link or just an album cover, but the client actually knows this is a song and this is the artist, and could, for instance, either map that to another service if you're not a Spotify subscriber, or your personal MP3 archive, which is wired to your thing. So that also gives you a level of portability and less being stuck to a certain service provider here. Another use case might be something like newsletters or meeting info. So you have all been receiving emails from the FOSDEM organizers, like, this is a venue, here is a train station, here is probably hotels or restaurants, something like that. And it's typically always a link in the email. Yeah? So your email client has no clue what this is about. So what about FOSDEM could, annotate this kind of information in that newsletter, which is anyway, crafted very nicely, so that would be very helpful if you could very easily then import that to another app where you manage your trip with or something like that. And finally, there's also email-specific use cases. For instance, like you might know about vacation notices, which tell you somebody is absent for a certain point of time. It's also something you need to read by yourself, understand by yourself. And actually, there is a particular draft, ITF draft, for this particular use case, leveraging structured data also in that case, so your email client can basically understand that the remote person is absent. And there is also, elaborating more on some more use cases, there is a particular ITF draft for those interested. And certainly, this is also a call to the community to, think about use cases, provide feedback on what people might find useful, and so on. So how does it work from an implementation side? Because, we have a chicken-egg problem here. Email is a very, widespread, long-standing ecosystem with a lot of actors, and it's very hard to get all of them, on one boat to make this happen. Huh? And obviously, for this to be useful, you need senders to do it, and clients to use it as well. And the clients will say, the senders should put that in first, otherwise why should I care about this? The senders will say, oh, no client is supporting this, what should I do? Yeah? That's a classical chicken-egg problem. Good thing is, I told you, some senders already are using it, to a certain extent at least. Also for senders, at least for automated senders, it's to a certain extent probably easy because, as I say, if I already build the email out of a database already, maybe even using a certain system a lot of people are using, it might be easy to just put in some mechanism in the template and then have a real broad impact on the data involved. Also, senders, especially professional senders, are interested in that in a sense because if it would enable a better user experience on the receiving side, they are interested, of course, in providing this kind of add-on work because it would help their visibility in the inboxes. It's a similar mechanism somehow here for the web. Yeah? So people started annotating that on websites because basically they had a benefit in Google search or in other search engines. There's another way also, of course, that would be useful if you could by yourself, if you would draft an email, if you could send certain structured emails. Nobody would necessarily require you to write like RDF in the email explicitly, but you could think about, when you share a link, for instance, it could try pull the structured data out somewhere, and there could also be templates for something like a poll or something like that. Yeah? So there might even be support in email clients for this kind of use case. On the receiver side, you might think about adding this on the MTA level, like if the mail comes in, you auto-process it already and write it somewhere to a store or to some system. This is currently something not 100% in focus, but that could obviously be done. Currently for implementations, it's more on the user agent level, so on the email client level, where it's directly visible to the user. Yeah? But these two things could easily work together, of course. And maybe just to explain a little bit, it's actually very similar. So this is just a screenshot of a meeting invite. Many people of you know. So there's RFCs for this particular use case. And it's basically working very similar. Yeah? Also in calendar invites, sometimes you have servers acting about that already. Sometimes you do it in a client. So you have the very same situation of how to deal with this kind of data. Also what's interesting is you have a typical way of presenting that kind of information adjacent to the actual mail or even fully replacing the email. Yeah? So this is a user experience which is very similar, which people are used already for invitations or with these calendar invitations. Many tools do it in a similar fashion, I would say. Yeah? So this is sort of a little bit of an inspiration. So in a way, you can think about all this structured email as a sort of a generalization of that. Yeah? So you have this thing happening for calendars, but you probably wouldn't write like 500 more RFCs for very specific topics, but the idea is to have a more general framework here. So how does it work generally? So this is now the use case on the client side. So you really have something like Perula or Thunderbird or something like that. So the first question is, when should you analyze the email in that case? Yeah? So obviously, when the mail is incoming to the user, that is not on the client side typically, because the client would need to be active. So that would be the MTA case, which we don't look at right now here. But one thing could be, once the email client is running, you look in the background, a new mail is coming in, you process it, and you look, is there some structured data inside which you might want to act on? Yeah? The other option is the user explicitly opens an email. And you look then into what is in that kind of email. Yeah? In terms of extraction, I told you there is already some airlines doing it, for instance, in emails, embedding this structured data. They do it a little bit in a, let's say, a not so clean way. So it's basically put in the text HTML part of the message. And actually, not many of the vendors really like it because it's a little bit, I would not say very dirty approach and so on. So the idea within the ITF or the probably consensus that will be there be reached is to really do it as a separate multi-part alternative type. So somehow maybe at least for some time when this is rolled out, you might have the situation that both of these things are around, but you would have a library probably looking for all of that. The interesting thing is you could also do some kind of bootstrapping beyond that. Yeah? So even if you think about having not directly RDF in the emails, there is already a lot of emails that have some other structured data, like, okay, ICS files, if they are not a meeting invite, typically they are just a plain attachment. I mean, some clients might render them. You have these Pika Pass tickets that Apple, for instance, sends around for events, as many of you might know. Also, there is some approaches, or e-invoices as a very recent thing in the EU especially, and there is also things around like you can even extract from textual emails certain stuff. So the K-Itinerary project, which was presenting here at FOSTEM last year in the track, they have basically some regular expressions where they do support certain airlines, you know, extracting the flight data, even if the airlines do not yet include the structured data, just based on the textual content. That's, of course, not a very nice and sustainable thing, but it's probably a bootstrapping approach to help the things get running, right? So then how does the interaction work? Yeah? So once you did all the parsing and everything, what can you actually do with it? Yeah? And so one idea is to do it a little bit like also you do it in the instant messengers or Slack or so on. So like you have sort of a card-based rendering where you do some have some human-readable information of what the structured data is about. So this is something you could do quite for a lot of data without being too specific because it's probably like an image and a title, and then we come to the actions. But for some sort of use cases, you might also have very specific templates. Like for a poll, such a card would not be sufficient, but you would need a more specific, you know, rendering of a poll with options and submission things. Another thing you could probably do with that is some simple forms, yeah, where you could probably enter some information, think about your electricity provider asking you for the, you know, look up the electricity meter in your backyard. Typically you go to a portal, just to enter just a very single number. So that could be theoretically something you could also do with that kind of approach. And yeah, then the magic is, of course, actions, yeah, because rendering is nice, but you want to do something with it. Yeah? But the good thing is once you know which kind of structured data that is, like for instance, here we know it's a location, yeah? We can, for instance, trigger or launch this in our OpenStreetMap or whatever kind of thing we want to have. We might even decide, some email client might even want to decide to render that in a map, yeah? So because the location is known. Think about my case before where FOSTEM sends you a list of restaurant recommendations or something like that. You know, the email client is covering that, might offer you to render that within the email client somehow in a view on a nice map or something like that. This is what I call here like platform dependent. So there might be also add-ons in your email clients that act on certain kind of C-structured data. It's obviously not that the email client itself will be doing most of that, but you could have a cookbook app, for instance, where you have recipes in, right, and the recipe you get sent in by email might be directly wired into that. A second category of actions might be structured data responses, where you say you directly send the structured data back to the one that was sending to you. A good example might be the answer to the poll, for instance, yeah, where you just choose the send, or something like you could think about a vacation request, yeah, I want to have vacation, leave next week for 2 days, yes or no, and this could also be done by that. Very shortly, security and trust, it's probably something maybe also for the discussion if somebody's interested. This is also an ongoing discussion on, should one require SMIME signing or PGP signing for this kind of content to avoid abuse here. So there is an active draft as well and some discussion on the ITF mailing list for those people interested in that facet. That's a little bit summarizing the, you know, the current flow of how things work or get changed to a certain extent. A very short note only, an interesting question is also, like, you have the message store where the actual messages are, but what do you do with the structured data? Yeah? That might not just be a one-time thing. You might want to have somehow within your email client or your desktop some possibility to store certain snippets, yeah? To store restaurant recommendations or something like that, for which the message store probably is not the right way to do. But this is more like a implementation decision, obviously, also of clients, but at a certain point that might also get interesting to maybe make more interoperable between different clients. But this is maybe more of a future thing here. So in terms of implementations, very shortly. So KMail does support this kind of approach, at least to a certain extent, since a while already. Again, there was a talk last year here at FOSDEM. You have some support in Nextcloud Mail. We very recently launched an Outlook add-in, actually. Sorry for that, but it was it's obviously also a community you want to have in the boat here. It's actually specific to electronic invoices by now, but underneath it's enabled, or the whole mechanism is already like built for all of this structured email as well, so this will be enabled in a second step here. We have a prototype for K9 Mail. I actually wanted to have that ready for FOSDEM, but we will probably have it in the next weeks published, so you can try that out. And we have also support for sort of a number of webmailers, so we have a Roundcube project even on GitHub. It's not the most recent code version yet, so we will also have an update on that one. But some people might be also interested in having a look at that. This, for instance, is how it looks like if I send you a restaurant in the K9 implementation. So you see you can directly call the restaurant or have a navigation to the restaurant here. There is some libraries you can use. So that was one goal, that we can provide client developers with libraries for all that extraction and also for the rendering. So in order to share information here, so everybody doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. And I told you there is already also some additional testing code. So if you want to scan your email account to know which kind of structured data, by the way, do I have already in my emails historically, there is this little project on GitHub where you can do that. There is also another project where you see some examples of structured email if you might want to play around with that. For the top project, you can also send structured email to somebody or to yourself in case you want to play around with that. Actually, due to the fact that the ITF standardization is still ongoing, so probably, I don't know, aren't somewhere here to the end of the year, there might be an RC ready for some last call probably. There is different options now still how to include it in the email, yeah? But still on the reading side, you can do a lot of that. And yeah, that concludes the talk here. So hopefully structured email will be a way to make email better and make email more modern and allow for interesting new use cases for those that want to have that in their clients. It's incremental, which is nice. So that's really also a very nice feature of email. One aspect that might also be interesting here is accessibility. So for people that have maybe difficulties in reading or something like that, structured data might also be interesting to give them alternative ways of accessing the content. Here's a link to the ITF work. So join ITF mailing list. It's free. If you're interested in that, join the discussion. There is an interim call in 2 weeks, I think. And that's all. Thank you very much. Looking forward to your questions. All right, let's see. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I like your presentation.
Thank you.
You might not like to hear that. Are you aware of the AND project?
Yes.
Okay. And then for email?
I'm sorry?
And there's AND for email?
Yes. I know.
How do you relate to that?
Okay. Okay, great. Sorry, it was a little bit hard to hear. So the question is, there is the AMP project, AMP email. It's a Google project, basically, so you can only use it in Gmail. There is actually, yes, mostly. I mean, there's Yandex, I think, or some Yahoo, theoretically, but I didn't get it to work, actually. but that's another story. There's also actual messages for Microsoft, which is very similar to the AMP thing, just for reference. And Gmail actually does both. Gmail supports some structured data, And also in a unidirectional way, so you cannot send it. You can just receive restaurants and flights, parcels, flights and reservations. You need to sign up for that, so it's not really open and decentralized. And it is AMP in parallel. So how does it differ? Yeah? So the structured email part of email is really, Gmail can understand this is a restaurant, yeah, and this is a flight. But with AMP, it's basically an HTML email 2.0. Yeah? So you can do a form in email where you can submit data, but there is no idea of what is this form about or what is inside here. Yeah? Which is probably also the case. Yeah? So in that sense, even in Gmail, they coexist. Yeah? So it's two different things. There might be the question, so for something like the polls or the location sharing, if you want to do live location sharing, you might borrow the feature of updating information in an email or parts of the structured data, at least also for the structured email approach. Yeah, so there might be a little bit of a synergy, which, again, as you say, is something one should do very carefully, but this is the current state of affairs here. Yeah? Does that help you? Thank you. Further questions? I see. I'm just scanning the room shortly. So I have two. Start with. Okay.
One of the biggest problems I see is the agreement on the schema about how to describe the data.
Exactly.
Everyone will recognize the fields. And you mentioned it quite quickly.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate?
Yes. So you're absolutely nailing the point. So I think the main thing here will also be about, you know, how to most clients would agree on certain schema for certain use cases. Yeah. I think one, there's multiple answers to that, but keeping it short, I think one is there is already vocabularies around in RDF, like for this search engine kind of annotation thing on the web. Schema.org, I think, has some 900 classes already for certain things. So this is already quite widespread use. It's not very top quality. I mean, we can have a long discussion on that. But this is at least something you can leverage. Second thing is there will be certain things probably even standardized on the ITF level, like the vacation notice, where it makes sense, where it's very super client-specific. And then there might be something like community work. So that's at least, this is one of the things not yet 100% clearly figured out, but the idea is probably to have some community working on that and sharing some kind of templates and use cases where it makes sense. And you have to think about typically attachments you see to email. Yeah? So in a way, this is related to that. So not email clients also don't agree on which kind of attachments you can add. It's basically the operating systems or add-ins to the email clients which say, okay, I can read a PDF. Yeah? And you could think about that in a similar way. Yeah? Like you could have the way of having add-ins registering for certain structured data. And in that sense, you might not strictly need that kind of consensus between all the email clients. It would just that in order to understand a certain one, you would need to have some suitable add-in here. But maybe we can continue discussion offline. I have one more question probably, and then we are unfortunately already over.
Do you know what there's any like AI agents that are benefiting from the structured email already?
That's a good question. So I would think so that, for instance, like people like Gmail or so do the extract that. I know from some ISPs that already also do analysis, and they basically have a combined approach of using structured data and extracted data and putting that into a model. So in that sense, yes. But I'm not aware of a pure client already. That's webmail, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much again.